We had a story the other day in Muse in the News about the memorabilia sale from the movie Grease. Olivia Newton-John's jacket and her pants and a couple of other items were up for auction, and they sold for $50,000, $75,000, something like that. And then I asked you guys if you could buy any movie memorabilia, a prop from a movie, your favorite movie, what would you buy? And we all agreed that, yeah, that is special, and that we'd do that segment at a later date of our choosing. Well, that time has come. So in this segment, and I've expanded it a little bit because the more I thought about this, I think we should make this from movies and television. So we're all coming up with three items from movies, three movie props that we would like to buy if we could, and three television props that we could buy if we could. So why don't we start with the movie props? And I'll give you my list first.
Okay.
So I thought it was, I didn't know we were doing two categories. I thought it was, we were combining, you could choose from TV or film.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think in my text I said three of each.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Three of each.
I'm underprepared then.
All right. Well, you can go last then as you prepare.
Okay.
So the three movie props that I would buy if I had the money to buy them at auction. The first one from my favorite movie when I was a kid, the movie Breaking Away, about Dave Stoller, college wannabe student who is a bike racer that won the Academy Award that year for the best screenplay. I would buy his 1979 red mossy Italian road racing bike with Nuovo record components and Bonotto tape. Oh my God.
He's studying it way too much.
Oh my God.
He knows way too much about it.
I knew everything. That would be the number one movie prop I think I would buy.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Because everybody who loves bicycles always needs an extra bicycle.
Sure.
In fact, the proper number of bikes for anybody to own is N plus one, with N representing the number of bikes you currently own.
How many do you have, by the way?
I'm not sure we need to get into that.
Uh-oh.
You know, all right. I restored my old racing bike, the first racing bike I ever have, and that is in my study now. On a little stand, and I've not ridden it. It's perfectly restored. I turned another old racing bike into my commuter, which I'll ride to work.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of others.
Wow.
All right, the second movie prop that I would buy if I could from another one of my top five favorite movies would be the Bible in Shawshank Redemption that Andy Dufresne hid the pickaxe in.
With the cutout pages and that shape, yeah, that's pretty awesome.
When he's gone and they turn his cell and the warden opens up the Bible and there's the shape of the pickaxe, that is one of the greatest moments in movie history. And it's on a lot of guys' top five movie lists, so that's nothing out of the ordinary, but I probably have watched that movie 40 times.
Yeah.
And that scene always gets me. I would love to have the Bible from Shawshank.
That's a great one.
And then the third item on my movie list, it's also a top five for me, The Jerk, Steve Martin's first movie, and maybe his best. And I want some item from The Jerk, because that was such a memorable and favorite movie. So I thought about the original OptiGrab, which was the little handle that that Navin Johnson invented so that glasses would go on and off easily. I thought about the hat that he wore once he got some money, the fedora with the comically long feather that went off the back about 4 feet. And then I thought about the thermos that he gave to Bernadette Peters.
Thermos for you.
But I think what I settled on was the little ukulele that he plays when he's serenading Bernadette Peters in the scene at the campground.
Mm-hmm.
There was something I loved about that scene when he's singing the song to her, and then he goes to stroke her cheeks and says, "Oh, you have such beautiful skin," and he starts pulling on the cheeks like he says it's like putty. And something about that. So I think I would take the ukulele, because then that's something that I could also play.
That's great.
So those are my three movie props that I would buy if I could afford them.
All right, my movie props, since I probably watched this movie more than any other, I had to get something from Caddyshack. You guys brought up the other day Rodney Dangerfield's bag. That would have been awesome. Or Billy Beru, the putter. But I thought the character that gave me the most joy when I first started watching that movie, and we all impersonate him, is Bill Murray's character, Carl, the assistant greenskeeper. Doesn't really mean much to be an assistant greenskeeper, but someday he's going to be a head greenskeeper. His bucket hat. The camo bucket hat that Carl wore. I'm sure that's out there somewhere and it's probably been up for bid. I would gladly bid on that and own that one because, man, Caddyshack has given me so much joy through the years. I thought about something from Star Wars. I thought about maybe the blaster or maybe the lightsaber, but that doesn't really work anyway. That was all animated, right? Did the lightsaber really work like that?
I think it was a tube.
It had a reflective thing on there, but they colored in later.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, that's... I guess that would be pretty cool just to have that handle. But I went with the Chewbacca costume. How much fun would that be if people came over and they could...
Do you know?
You had a party and you could be Chewbacca all night.
That must smell.
Yeah, I bet it smells really bad.
Boy, that would be great.
But come on over and someone can beat Chewbacca for the night. We'll all sit around and get hammered and play guitars.
Like the end of Step Brothers.
Yeah, there you go. It's not authentic, but that's okay. Also, I'm a boat guy. So I thought, what's the most famous boat ever? And this was the most, maybe one of the most impactful movies ever watched as a kid. And I think it's still floating in Martha's Vineyard. Orca, the boat from Jaws.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if the engine still turns on it or not, but from what I can understand, it's still around. It's still floating. They bought it as a used boat in Martha's Vineyard back in the 70s. They painted it. That was the boat they used for all the real boat shots. And then they had a dummy boat that they put in the studio that was like cut out fiberglass and very fake. But yeah, there was a real boat, the Orca. And how cool would that be if you drove that in Lake Louisville? Would people go... Is that the boat from Jaws?
Be awesome. Looks like they're out. Driving around the Orca and you're in the Quint outfit, you know?
They're going under the I-35 bridge right now. I think that's the boat from Jaws.
Got that real loud chugging motor like that boat had.
Yeah, doesn't sound real dependable. Probably has a few leaks. Bilge pumps working overtime in it. But those are my three.
I thought of something from Jaws, the actual shark, you know, that we've seen on the Universal Studio Tour.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know where I would keep it.
Living room. That's a great living room. Conversational piece.
All right, Gordo, you got three movie props?
You know, I do, Junior. All right, and I actually have a little audio help for mine. Okay. Pull up the computer here, Jer. Number three on my movie prop list. The 1968 Volkswagen from the Love Bug. Number 53, license plate OFP857.
Wow.
Herbie himself. I would love to own one of the original Herbies. I think there were three that were used for the first movie.
That movie was so magical.
Actually, Dean Jones, the guy who played Jim Douglas in the movie, who owned Herbie in the movie, he owned one of the original Herbies. He just passed away a few years ago.
Maybe it's out there.
Yeah, the Herbies are still in automotive collections. So
yeah, I was into those movies.
Oh man, I loved it.
I should have known you'd pick a car because you collect cars.
I don't try to collect cars. It's an accidental collection, sir. Number two on my movie list.
Yes, they do.
How can I talk?
It's not a real voice. This box just interprets signals from the computer and turns them into sound.
Shall we play a game?
The IMSAI 8080 computer, IMSAI IKB1 keyboard, and the 17-inch electro-home monitor used by David Lightman, played by Matthew Broderick, in the 1983 film War Games.
Was he like 17 then?
Was he? Yeah, he was like 17. Yeah. I was much younger than that, but this movie captivated me.
Good movie.
You know what? Right. I've never seen this movie.
You've never seen it?
Never.
You got to go back and watch it, see if it holds up.
Would it?
Our good buddy Barry Corbin is in it.
I'd pay on a spark plug if I thought it'd work.
Yes! You always hated that line. That's a great line.
No, I don't think I did.
Dabney Coleman's in it.
Wow.
He's great. Ali Sheedy is so cute in this. And this fired my imagination when I was a young boy, and I just moved here, and I was so lonely and hated it, but I just went into this world of this David Lightman, and he was like a He was like me, man. He didn't have a lot of friends, but he liked technology and was kind of a geek.
He was like the first hacker.
Yes, he was the first hacker. As a matter of fact, War Games was a pretty influential movie on a lot of computer hacker guys.
It gave computer nerds really bad ideas.
Yes, really bad ideas.
They could hack into.
But it was just so cool. And that computer actually came up for sale, I think, about 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget what it sold for, but that is a holy grail in the computer world, is the computer from War Games. I mean, of course, it's a joke technologically now, but it just fired so many imaginations of young guys who later turned out to become leaders of industry. I mean, guys who grew up to make famous games and things like that, all
off of
War Games as being one of their favorite movies of all time.
Okay, I'll watch it in the 9 o'clock hour today.
I know you can't do it then. And then my number one prop that I would like to own more than anything else in this entire world.
Can I guess? No, I don't want to spoil it. Go ahead.
You think you know it?
I think it's something from Indiana Jones. Yeah.
God, this still just
fires you up.
Oh, yeah.
You want the hat, the coat, or the whip?
This is so tough for me, because I'd love to just say everything. The hat and the whip are the two things that I want the most. But if I had to choose between those, I think I would go with the whip.
Really?
Yeah.
It's the hat that he had to go back and get. Didn't he have the, when he's going under that stone door that was closing, didn't he reach back in and get his hat?
And you could wear the hat?
Yeah, and everyone would know, oh, wow, it's Indiana Jones.
Okay, yeah, you talked me into the hat.
Okay.
Although the 450 series bullwhip that was made in many different lengths by David Morgan, the famous whip maker, who is still making whips, by the way. You can still buy whips made by the guy who made them for Indiana Jones. Mm. Would love to own that, but
would you whip it good?
Anyway,
are you going
I participated
home?
In y'all's segment.
Oh, are you walking out?
No, y'all do the show. Go ahead and do the show. But yeah, I would love to have Indiana Jones whip.
That's your all-time movie hero.
All time.
Yeah.
All time. And I almost met Harrison Ford and was turned away at the door.
Seriously?
Yes.
Well, when was that?
Open knock on
his hotel room.
You made it that far?
Yeah. So I'm in L.A. and I was interviewing some other movie actors from another movie. But they have him in this hotel. And there was a movie that Harrison Ford was in, and he was doing interviews at the same time. And so I walk up to his room and I hear his voice through the door. He's talking to a reporter and I'm like, I go over and I beg him, hey, is there any way I can get on the movie junket that Harrison Ford's doing interviews for? I work for Channel 8 in Dallas and everything. No, we're full up. We can't have you. And can I just stand by the door and listen a little bit? And then I stand by the door and pull down my pants.
They quickly pegged you as a stalker, didn't they?
My gosh, I wanted to interview Harrison Ford so bad. But didn't get to interview Han Solo and Indiana Jones. Those are my three from the movie.
Those are good.
Okay, let's go to television. The three prop items we'd like from television, if we could afford them. So my favorite show, I believe, growing up was Star Trek. I went to a Star Trek convention as a kid. I dressed as Spock for Halloween a couple of times. And my favorite prop, and Star Trek was great for a kid because there were so many props. The whole thing was props, right? It was science fiction, so they had the phasers and the tricorders and the communicators and the bridge and all the buttons and the spaceships and all of this. But I think out of all of it, I would want Captain Kirk's chair. Chair that was in the middle of the bridge. It looked comfortable, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Had all the buttons on the armrests where he could contact people and do lots of things with those buttons, and it swiveled where he could turn around and talk to anybody on the bridge. It just looked cool, so I always wanted that chair.
Yeah, you could hook up your audio and video to that.
Mm-hmm.
And just control it from the chair.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I'd watch the Sunday Ticket. The second item I would want from television, from another one of my favorite shows, another top five show for me, MASH. Everything centered around the swamp, which is where Hawkeye lived, the tent that Hawkeye and Trapper and then later BJ and Frank and Charles lived.
Funny.
I would want the still from the swamp.
Yes.
Yeah. Where they made their homemade hooch. And to me, that was the focal point of the entire 4077th was the still. Everything revolved around it. So I'd love to have that.
So many great lines in that show. And are we to understand that Gordo's anti-MASH?
I just think it's a little bit overrated by you guys.
Oh, my God.
It
go back and watch.
I don't think it does.
Go back and watch, especially the first couple of years with Frank and Trapper and Henry Blake. Watch those. It still holds up. The writing is still genius. The performances are great. Mm-hmm. They never overacted in that show. And then the third item from another top five show, and I don't know how many times I've seen this show in its entirety all the way through every episode, but Gilligan's Island was the first thing I would watch usually when it was on at 3:30 and Star Trek at 4, and I think I would take Gilligan's white flop hat because I also dressed as Gilligan once as a kid and I had a hat kind of like it for Halloween, and to me that was, you saw it on almost every scene of every single show. He was never without the hat.
No.
So I'd take his white flop hat.
That's great. Man, we wasted a lot of hours on that show when you knew what was going to happen at the end.
All right, Joe, what about your list?
All right, I'll start with an iconic show that was based around here, and it was still one of the coolest things in the history of doing this show, getting to meet the great Larry Hagman. And he even invited us to his California home. He was so friendly to us. I'd take one of J.R. Stetson's.
That's a good
one.
And
try to land one of that one. Probably the more simple gray one. That was the classic look that he would throw down. And I was there every Friday night. I watched every Friday. I was hooked in just like everybody else in this country and this world watching Dallas way back in the day. I think my favorite TV show of all time, I know it was one of Gordon's. He says it was one of his from the TV show Lost.
Oh, yeah. I thought about something from Lost.
I bet you did.
Like, I thought about the cabin that burned, or there were a lot of things.
A submarine.
The transmitter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought maybe about a key to the hatch.
Yeah.
But I settled on
Why'd you laugh?
A Dharma Initiative jumpsuit.
Yes.
I think that would, again, that would be fun to have at a party. Someone could dress up like they were from Dharma.
He's frantically trying to remember Dharma Initiative right now.
I know.
He knows.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I told you guys once, I think the show that I probably wasted the most time with growing up was Batman.
Oh, yeah.
And I know we're in the age of where you don't even have a landline anymore, but how cool would it be if you had the actual bat phone in your office or your kitchen and you knew there was that one blinking light and that meant the commissioner was on the line.
Stupid.
A lot of good props from that show.
The red phone. No. The bat phone, brother.
All right, good list, Gordo.
Number three on my list, the 1986 Fleetwood Bounder from Breaking Bad. I'm a big fan of RVs, and that's one of the most iconic that you can get right there.
What a rattle trap that thing was.
Greatest first scene in television history.
Man.
Two on my list, Johnny Carson's desk from the 1970s that we actually sat at.
We saw it.
And now that I go back and see clips from Carson back in the day, I realized that all of my memories from when I was really, really little, my parents watching Carson, was him sitting at that particular desk.
That's a good one.
And it didn't go for an outrageous number.
It was only like $30,000, which that's a lot of money.
A lot of money, but it's not like
You spend on a car.
$500,000 mm-hmm. or anything.
We'll spend that on a car, and then we'll sell the car for $1,000 in about 7 years.
Right.
So
I bet it's worth twice that now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Carson's desks always appreciate. And number one on my list from television, from the 1991, it was pretty early on, show on television. It was a nonfiction television show called Beyond Conspiracy with Peter Jennings. They showed a piece of memorabilia there. It was a 6.5 millimeter Carcano Model 9138 rifle.
Here we go.
Gosh, what a stretch to call that a TV show from a historical event.
It would be from that documentary.
Everybody played right until the last one.
Because
so
it appeared on that TV show, he wants Oswald's rifle.
What? It was... Oh... You know, you're right. I think it was the rifle that Oswald used.
By the way, show note, be with us November 22nd. We have a very special show planned on Gordo's High Holy Day.
Well, if I had to change it, I would choose the entire Brady Bunch house then. Is that okay. better for you?
You had a crack at it last year.
And by the way, most expensive movie memorabilia ever sold, expensive movie prop, was James Bond's Aston Martin from Goldfinger. It sold at auction in 2010 for $4.6 million.
Dang.
Wow.
The Aston Martin that Sean Connery drove in Goldfinger. Number two on that list, Marilyn Monroe's dress from The 7 Year Itch that blew up when she was over the sewer grate.
Gordo would love to wear that.
That sold for $4.6 million. And Steve McQueen's racing suit from Le Mans sold for over $1 million as well, way back when it was auctioned off. So expensive movie memorabilia and stuff we'd like to have from the entertainment world.